For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes me! Here's the throat of the plate!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Braves win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me play football?
Vance Dooley and adore the damn Bulldog, baby!
Sorry, Lake. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think he'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Go Gator.
Hey, Kareen, turn your mic down just a little bit. Thank you very much.
Go Gator.
That's better. Thank you. Walker, remember 37 weeks ago when the Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship over Alabama?
Eli Gold remembers. How could I ever forget?
Touchdown, Georgia.
Do you remember the offseason we had where, everything was just perfect? We spent how much money on stuff? $100,000 each on stuff.
I mean, you may have spent $100,000. I spent $14.99.
Do you remember the countdown to kickoff where we're like, man, I'm ready, but I'm kind of not ready for this offseason to end?
Like, how many days till the Dogs play?
Yeah, it's like, who cares, man?
28. And we were all excited, yeah.
Yeah, then at the same time, we're like, you know what, man? It's all good. Let it take its time. Then we open up and we beat the Oregon Ducks.
Those stinking, slimy, nasty Ducks.
They proved to be slimy, all right, but they could not score a touchdown against the Dogs. Remember the following couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Beat up on Samford. Went over to Columbia, South Carolina, and put the whooping on the chickens.
Didn't even have to listen to Sandstorm, maybe one or two times.
Do you remember how perfect life was?
Yeah, those were good times.
And then we go lose to Kent State.
The thing I heard on Twitter was that we, quote, almost lost to Kent State.
I thought we did lose to Kent State based on what I was seeing on Saturday afternoon well into the evening. Well, I guess a win by 17 points over a team that played in the MAC championship last year is just darn embarrassing. And I'm not sure I'm going to continue on this fandom. And I'm not sure the Second String Podcast has a whole lot of reason to keep going itself.
Yeah.
Just embarrassing.
Just cancel it.
Cancel it all.
Shut the program down.
I've always wanted a national championship, and that was good and all, but I also wanted a dynasty. That dynasty is dead, Walker. No, we're just kidding. We're bringing up just sarcasm on the Second String Podcast. But look, it was a little frustrating watching some, and I get it. It's a microcosm of the entire fan base. Social media is funny like that. But I say, everybody, calm down.
Relax.
And I don't mean everybody. I mean those of you that decided to take that route, the few of you that bombarded everything I tweeted on Saturday. There's a reason I shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday after the game, I was like, you know what, man? This is a good day to put the phone away and just enjoy the rest of the weekend without just everybody being negative. And that's kind of what I did. But overall, I kind of – and we'll get to a lot of this. I think it was not a bad thing for Georgia on Saturday to have a little bit of adversity.
No, absolutely not. That is the kind of game that will help you immensely in the long run. And in the short term, I think it will help you immensely this weekend in Columbia, Missouri. I was just really surprised, Logan. I was at the game, and I was there with my daughter, so I wasn't spending a lot of time on my phone, you know, tweeting or reading tweets or whatever. We had a good day at Sanford Stadium. I mean, except for it being really hot. I mean, it was
it really
stupid
hot?
Thank you,
Saturday.
Mr. Speaker.
I know the temperature was low, but that sun was just bright and hot.
That's
so
what it was.
So you're telling me you sat somewhere where the, well, I call it the alumni shade, the donor shade, the big donor shade wasn't covering you
up?
Yeah,
I ain't got none of that,
sorry,
man.
Sorry, bro.
I don't run with those big donors.
Stinks to stink, man.
I was sitting like right on the 50-yard line, 300 level. I had good tickets, and we were there. We were excited to be there. It was frustrating a few times. Look, Ladd McConkey had a tough day.
He's dead to me.
Our
Who'd you
man,
say?
Our man Ladd McConkey. Now, if he was sitting right here, he would say the same thing. Yeah, I had a rough day. You know what? It happens to every person. It happens to every athlete.
I in no way, shape, or form want to blame Ladd for this thing being closer than we thought it was going to be, but you said it. He would tell you right here, yeah, I fumbled the ball twice. Mm-hmm. I dropped two wide-open touchdowns. If three of those four things don't happen, Georgia wins that game by 30 points.
Absolutely.
And he'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. And what does that mean for Ladd in the future? Nothing. Literally nothing.
Yeah. I mean, does that affect anything that's going to happen this Saturday night in Missouri? No.
Let me tell you real quick. The line, I think, is 28. Pound it.
Vegas knows.
Pound it.
Vegas
Georgia
knows.
Will win big this Saturday night.
Dogs by 50. No, I'm excited about this weekend because I agree with you. I think that Kirby and staff will correct some things. They will right the wrong. And Georgia will be laser focused going into an SEC game this weekend. Again, if you want to look back and you want to talk about Kent State, there's a lot you could nitpick. But when I saw the people on Twitter after the game, I mean, I felt like some of these some of these dudes were going to, like, go out and start kicking puppies or something. Like,
don't kick puppies, man.
Don't kick puppies, man. That's not nice. Everybody was big mad. Everybody was frustrated. And I literally saw the words almost lost used in tweets. Like, well, we almost lost to Kent State. Some other fan bases. Oh, you guys almost lost to Kent State. Listen, I was there. I'm going to tell you that game was never in doubt.
No, it was not.
There was no point where I felt like Georgia was going to lose that game.
You may have seen my tweet. I'll rehash this real quick. There's a few memories recently. We're going to go every single season prior to 2021. We're going to start with the back to 08, that is. Back to 2008. How about the blackout against Alabama?
That was a rough
Remember 2009
night.
LSU when A.J. Green caught the pass late and the ref flagged him for, like, looking at the crowd?
That was
so stupid.
A dumb penalty.
Well, but it wasn't even – it shouldn't have been a penalty. That's what you're saying, though. It wasn't dumb for A.J. to it was dumb that
the ref threw
a penalty.
Ref thought that was a penalty because it was nothing of the sort.
2010, Nick Fairley and Scam Newton. Bad, bad memory. 2011, Boise State at the Dome.
One of the worst games I've ever been to as a Georgia fan.
2012, you went to South Carolina ranked really high, and they beat you really bad that night. Pick a game in 2013, it was bad.
The whole thing.
Vandy, the prayer at Jordan-Hare.
Was that
a lot
year
of bad
Missouri
things.
Came to Athens and
that
beat
was
us? That
Missouri.
Was the only time they
only
beat
time
us.
Missouri beat you. How about 2014, the squib kick against Tech?
Man, I don't like it.
2015, the rainy night in Georgia when Alabama rolled up in here and things did not go your way. 16, you had a Hail Mary against Tennessee. 17, the heartbreaker of the Natty itself. 2018, the Justin Fields fake punt. 2019, who the hell was that South Carolina team?
Who is Eddie Rosario and where the hell did he come from?
Well, he didn't play that game, but he would have helped.
What were they doing?
2020, that just awful night in Jacksonville. Just nothing went well in Jacksonville that day.
A lot of injuries.
A lot of injuries, a lot of bad things. And I'll throw 2021 SEC championship game in, even though I look at that as a good memory in hindsight because I think that really did set the tone for the Natty. Anyway, my point is you can go back further. I just went to 08. Go to 07 and beyond. There's plenty of bad memories. I think the fans that have gone through all of that, like us and so many of our cheeseheads, were not the ones on social media Saturday griping about a 17-point win over what I'm going to say is a pretty decent little Kent State team, well-coached. Yeah. I'm not pretending like they're Alabama, but that's a good team.
Maybe we didn't know that. Maybe you and I underestimated what Kent State was last week, and maybe some of the fans did as well. I guarantee you Kirby Smart didn't. But maybe you just thought, like, hey, this is going to be an easy 30, 40-point win. And, again, to your point earlier, it could have been, if not for three turnovers, a couple of touchdown passes you mentioned that were dropped. Georgia, instead of scoring touchdowns, which they typically do, had to settle for field goals a couple of times. And Kirby explained that Kent State runs kind of a quirky, funky style of defense that caused them some problems. He also, Kirby Smart also, literally I heard the words fall out of his mouth, said, that's the best team we've played so far this year.
I thought he said,
I want Judy! I want Judy!
I don't know if that was meant to throw some disrespect at Shane Beamer.
Yes. the answer is yes.
But he did say, that Kent State team, that's the best team we've seen so far this year.
The snitches get stitches.
So you said people that haven't been with it all the way back, that haven't been ride or die for 20, 30, 40 years, however long you've been a fan. I have met a lot of people recently that say that they became Georgia football fans in 2017 or 2018, and that is fine. There is nothing in the world wrong with that.
Always room on the Georgia bandwagon. Yeah. Come on in.
But that fan, you're right, does not get all of the heartbreak. All they've ever known is championships and glory days. So, when you struggle with Kent State, it might be a little bit disheartening to you. It might make you mad. It might make you angry, but I'll remind you that Georgia back in the day would sometimes lose to teams like Southern Mississippi and Central Florida. Georgia did not
Boise
lose.
State.
Boise State. Georgia did not lose to Kent State. And no matter what you read, they did not almost lose to Kent State.
No, I think you can take a lot of positives from this game. The adversity you had, the being tested a little bit more than you should have. That is going to, in my mind, translate into one hell of a good week at practice this week.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may not enjoy it very much, but Kirby can smile and be as happy as he wants to the media after the game Saturday, and he really was. He seemed like the happiest version I've seen of Kirby in a while, for whatever reason. But I think in the back of his mind, he's like, oh, boy, I got some coaching I can do this week, and we're going to have us a good week. All the rat poison these boys have been eating for the last few weeks, that hit home today. So yeah, he knew that the week ahead is going to be good, and that's a huge reason I think Georgia rebounds in a massive way. I know the line says 28. I would take 35 if you gave it to me.
Well,
I mean, that's tough. I get that. That would take a perfect game, but I can see it happening. And
you don't
coma.
Want to necessarily count your chickens or whatever the phrase is, but Missouri has a pretty bad offensive line.
The way they lost to Auburn,
yeah.
Holy cow. In regulation, I'm sure you've all seen it by now, regulation, what essentially was an extra point. They were at the goal line. They lined it up for the kicker to kick it straight down the middle. Shankopotamus, baby, right to the right. Just awful. And then the way they lost in overtime, Pig Howard style, where the guy's reaching out to essentially say, hey, touchdown, we win, and the ball just slips out. You could see the devastation in his face. It was awful.
Yeah.
And that's a really bad Auburn team that almost beat you, should have beaten you.
So you've got a very disheartening loss Missouri is coming off of. You've got some drama with players. Understand that a certain very highly recruited wide receiver the other day had, like, scrubbed everything Missouri from his Instagram. Who knows what that means? Probably
it's
nothing.
It's a guy that Georgia recruited heavy, too.
Exactly. So there's problems in Columbia, Missouri right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's an opportunity for UGA to come in, as I said earlier, laser-focused, execute your game plan, because it doesn't really matter what Mizzou throws at you.
I like it's a
Saturday
night game, by the way.
Oh, me too.
I love that we're going to get a little hyped up ourselves. I think our players have been craving a night game. They're not going to let the Missouri Faurot Field crowd get to them, not even a little bit. Georgia has played for O Field at night twice. Mm-hmm. First one was in 2012 when Jarvis Jones took over. 41-20 win. You darn right. The other one in 2015 came down to a fourth down conversion from Jacob Eason to Isaiah McKenzie to get the heck out of there.
Gosh, I had forgotten that.
That was
that
a
game.
Close loss right there.
That
man.
Was a dime Jacob Eason threw right there.
If memory serves, and I'm not looking at it now, the way the camera was positioned, it followed kind of pan to the right when Eason dropped back, mm-hmm. but you could see as the viewer not there like, oh, snap, McKenzie got a step.
Yeah.
And when the ball released, the dime, as Walker says, man, it was just perfect.
No wonder that kid's in the NFL right now.
You know what you may not remember, though, is after that, Missouri gets the ball back. I want to say about a minute, minute 10, 15 left on the clock, something like that. Mm-hmm. We got lucky, man. They had a completed pass that I think – or was it a completed pass, or did we break it up at the very last second where they – almost had a catch and run for the length of the field for a touchdown. And we either broke it up or we tackled the guy barely. But they didn't break away like he almost did. And we almost gave up that lead late. But anyway, it didn't matter because it didn't happen.
That was a very forgettable season, honestly. But glad Georgia got out of there with a win because, again, you've only lost to Missouri once. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I was there. It was at Sanford Stadium on a very, very hot day. Georgia came in with a lot of injuries that afternoon. A
bunch of injuries.
And Mizzou escaped with the win. And what I remember from that day were was a few frat daddies from Missouri who were in my section who were just acting like complete fools.
And let's do a quick fact check.
I hope that that is not representative of the Missouri fan base. I will find out for you, Logan, because I'm going to Columbia this weekend for the first time ever.
I've heard 99% positive feedback from Missouri fans. So I think you'll have a good trip. One more thought on Kent State real quick. Then we'll move kind of on from that. I don't think it lingers at all. But I want to kind of call out a portion of the fan base. Walker, I hope you're not one of these. In fact, I know you're not one of these, but when did you leave the game? Be honest.
At the end of the third quarter.
All right. Well, you realize that you were part of the empty stadium when that was a 2-point conversion that Kent State was trying to convert in the fourth quarter that would have made it a single possession game. I'm not blaming you. I get it. I fully understand why you would leave a game that you thought you were going to get blown out. You're hot. You're kind of bored in a way. You said it earlier, and I agree. There was never a question that Georgia was going to lose. So I'm not faulting you for leaving. What I'm faulting are the fans that left that also jumped on social media talking about the lackluster performance, which you did not. Thank you,
Walker. I did not.
I appreciate that. But when they were going for that 2-point conversion in the fourth quarter at the student section, the empty. Mm-hmm. We just made fun of South Carolina for being empty over in Columbia. Well, that place was a ghost town. Mm-hmm. And from my view, sitting up in the press box looking outside of the stadium, the bridge, the Sanford Drive, heading back up into campus, Baxter Street, full of people walking away. If I find out that any of our cheeseheads, and I know we're not, repeat after me, cheeseheads, we don't fall in this category. If you were part of them walking away, and then you jumped on social media complaining about a lackluster performance, you're part of the problem. You're not the solution. Yeah. You're part of the problem.
No, I understand that, I somewhat agree with you.
I'm not trying to rip fans. I hate noon kickoffs. I hate Kent State's schedule. I wouldn't have gone, okay? My seats may have been empty. I hate these games. I despise them. I don't expect the players to get up for them the way that we would love them to. I get it.
You cannot get up 100% emotionally, physically for every single game.
Nope.
It is not going to happen.
Fans and players alike.
Yeah, and really, again, I was there. I was in the stadium. The fan base was, let's just say it wasn't Arkansas from last year.
That would have been nice.
As far as noon kickoffs
go. You know why? Because Kent State's not in the SEC and they're not a top 10 team.
And
that
people,
matters.
People don't know Kent State. People probably saw that and said, who are we playing this week?
I didn't know Kent was a state.
Nobody did. And I'll tell you, I was there with my kid, so I'm going to give you a bunch of excuses for why I left early. I was there with my kid who, bless her heart, love that girl very much. She just got her learner's permit yesterday. I'm very proud of her.
That is very exciting.
She does not follow football. She hung in there with me for the first half. But in the third quarter, I could see her kind of getting on her phone, and she's hot. Like, it's miserably hot, and I'm like, all right, let's get out of here.
Well, you wanted to go watch Florida and Tennessee.
I did. I wanted to get home and see the Florida
That is legitimately
game.
Another factor. I also wanted to get the heck out of there.
Yep, and I followed on my phone all the way back to my car.
Go Gator.
And I felt comfortable. By the time I got halfway up Baxter Hill, I felt comfortable mm-hmm. that the game was over. So
But again, you by leaving. Leaving early, and look, I'll admit I would have left early too if I could have, but we contributed to the lackluster environment.
Yeah, agreed.
And the players feed off that. And look, the players also were not up for it. Jake Fromm mm-hmm. on Dog Nation Daily this week, full on said, "Yeah, there's days like that.
Yeah,
it's noon. It's Kent State. They weren't hyped up like they probably should have been. That's totally fine. Anyway, that's my last thought. I don't care about this game." Just like I do Samford. Oh, the mm-hmm. only won 33-0. Like, yeah, because it's Samford. And it's a Saturday at noon.
And I think that's why the voters in the AP poll and the coaches poll
didn't care.
They didn't seem to dock Georgia any credits for only winning by 17 mm-hmm. because they know. Mm-hmm. They looked at that and said, hey, that's a noon kickoff. My yep. goodness, it's hot, whatever. We'll see how they do against Missouri. And I think that you're going to have a much, much different Georgia team this week.
Interns are slapping the glass. They're panicking.
Let's
we have
go.
Got to hit the break. We'll do it, come back, and wrap up the first half. Second String Podcast, WGAU.
First, you eat a chicken, then you smoke a little pot, and then you eat a whole pie. Yeah.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
All right, now that we ironed all that out, we were no longer considering the Georgia-Kent State game a loss. We are number one, baby. In fact, only four voters in the AP poll swapped their vote from Georgia to somebody else. Or I think it was only three, actually. Three. And the reason is because Ohio State looked so darn good this past mm-hmm. week. Nobody, if I'm saying this right, jumped Alabama back over Georgia. It was a few voters that saw Ohio State dismantle Wisconsin mm-hmm. and said, well, I think this week they look like the number one team. I ain't mad at you for it. They looked good.
They did. And nothing matters less than who is ranked number one after week four mm-hmm. of the college football season.
I never look at the coaches poll. I don't care. I literally don't care what the coaches poll is. The AP is a little relevant because it's people that cover it for a living making their opinions known. That's fine. But the only one that matters, like you said, is in the November when it rolls out in that college football playoff poll.
That BCS, BS.
NCAA, BS, BCS championship bowl game.
Poll.
We are going to get to Kareen in the second half of the show. We only got about 2 minutes here. I want to talk a lot about what happened up in Rocky Top and what does it mean? Because I saw two really bad defenses going at it, and I can't wait to get our shot at both of them.
Tennessee is back.
I'm also admittedly a little bit nervous how explosive Tennessee can look. And Florida, Anthony Richardson, give him a little tiny bit of credit.
Go Gator.
Yes, Kareen, you're excited. Your Heisman Trophy winner had the best game of the season so far. He finally looked a little bit better. But we'll get to all that as we go on. We'll talk a little Georgia-Missouri, too. I also want to work in, for the time of recording this, Walker, the first-place Atlanta Braves.
How about that?
We've got a big weekend coming up, man. We got a huge weekend with the Mets rolling into town for three night games.
Weather permitting.
That's a good point.
A big weekend coming up at Truist Park.
Good news is I am seeing that Atlanta is sort of becoming more and more west of what they're calling the cone of uncertainty. The direct cousin of the cone of shame we put on our dogs when they have a boo-boo.
Sounds like something from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but the smart lady that I listen to every morning on my drive in from Atlanta and WSB does the weather. She's really saying that, yeah, Atlanta's going to get some wind and some gusts, but we're really not going to get the washout that a lot of eastern Georgia and South Carolina is going to get. So that's good news as far as Braves and Mets coming up this weekend. But Georgia, luckily, we're getting the heck out of Dodge going to Missouri, so no hurricane problems whatsoever. Mm-mm. South Carolina State going to play Thursday night, maybe over by the time you hear this. And Florida, those lousy, nasty.
Stinking.
Just repulsive.
Ugly.
Despicable.
Slimy.
Gators. Where you at, Kareen?
Go Gator.
Thank you very much. They're going to play a Sunday game like we did back in 2016 against South Carolina.
That's right.
So we'll got a lot to get to, another half of the show to go. It is the Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show. on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
And we look back on dear old Rocky Top.
Wish that I was on a Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top, ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, half by the other half cat.
Half what?
Wild and a mean but sweet ass soda pop, I still dream about that.
R.I.P. They had a good run, Walker.
They did.
They're still in the middle of what they think is a run. Now, I love this version of the Osborne Brothers singing Rocky Top. And by love, I mean I love to make fun of it. We have a friend, dear, we call her Tennessee Tammy.
Okay.
Tennessee Tammy is a friend of ours in our little group of friends that do football games together. Tennessee Tammy travels with us up to old Rocky Top every couple of years. Her parents are alums of the University of Tennessee. And she likes to wear her orange up there. And let's just say her name is being redacted, her real name is, from this podcast, because she is better known as Tennessee Tammy, which is a personality that comes out with a high enough blood alcohol level. Let's
Everyone has something like that.
But we were sitting around the morning after we beat them last season up in the cabin on Smoky Mountains. Had a great trip, and all of a sudden we're just like making fun of Rocky Top, and she's a little mad about it. And we start making fun of this part right here. Hold on, wait for it. I'll tell you what.
Wish that I was.
It sounds like a wound up toy that is wound up like eight times too far. Wish that I was on Rocky Top. So that became sort of a thing now. Our group of friends like to sing Rocky Top to her in that high pitch. Wish that I was. But it's awful.
It's
just awful. One more time.
No.
Wish that I.
It is. Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. It is the most despicable, terrible, wretched song of all time.
I like that we do have on record a game in Athens where we beat them pretty good and they didn't play Rocky Top a single time. 2020, it took COVID. It took the band not coming, but they did not play Rocky Top a single time. All right, let's get to that game because I watched the majority of it. I got home fairly quickly about the beginning of the second quarter. So I saw a very good chunk of the game. I teased it a moment ago. What did you see from either one of these teams that makes you think for a second that Georgia will not blow through both of them?
Absolutely nothing.
Do you fear that Tennessee could put up 21 points on the Dogs?
I do fear that.
I do too. But what I find solace and I find peace in is knowing good and damn well that Georgia can score 45 on the Tennessee Vols.
Easily.
We could even give up 28 to the Vols.
I was going to say 42. You went to 45.
Throw me the extra field goal. Come on, Jack Podlesny. Add on, baby. No, same with Florida. Thing is, I don't see Florida scoring much on Georgia. I think Florida's got some big offensive flaws that play right into Georgia's strengths on defense. I just worry about the chunk plays with Tennessee a little bit right now, but we get them in Athens, which is great. We are going to be up for that game. That's not going to be your Samford and Kent State atmosphere at all. I would love for it to be a night game. It's probably going to be 3:30, which I'm more than accepting of.
That's fine.
But looking forward to that game, and I saw two defenses, Walker, that could not stop a goose turd on Saturday.
So
well, not many things can, by the way.
Do you think that our man Brock Bowers is going to have a pretty good day?
He's a Brock star, man.
When we play Tennessee.
He's going to have a phenomenal – I think of him naturally, like so many of us do. When you look at defenses giving up 10 yards, 15 yards, 20 yards, a 30-yard play, 70-yard in Tennessee's case, I just think of Brock running free, man.
Well, that's the thing with a player like number 19 is your 10-yard play can turn into a 70-yard touchdown just like that.
He's done it a lot.
I mean, kid is just unfair. He catches everything. Ball skills are incredible, and once he has the ball in the open field, it is very, very difficult to tackle that man. I mean, first of all, he's a big man, so it is literally difficult to tackle him.
It's baby Gronkowski, man.
Right, he is baby Gronk. And secondly, like he's gonna twist and turn and juke you out of your shoes before you. He's breaking ankles, as they would say on the basketball court, with these corners and safeties and linebackers. It just feels like once he catches the ball, like you have no shot. Now, back to your original point with the Tennessee game, I don't fear any of this. Look, Tennessee's going to be a different team when they come to Athens, because what I thought I might see on Saturday was a really good, well-coached, high-powered offense football team. What I actually saw was a team that barely escaped a home win against the lousy, stinking Gators, who should be 0-4 by all rights right now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then the Gators don't take no jive.
Oh, they took some jive. Oh,
Kareem,
in Knoxville.
A lot of jive.
And Tennessee fans are literally crying and sobbing tears after the game.
Everything is just not all equal.
You just beat an unranked team. Good for you. Congrats, Vols. You're amazing.
Look, it's kind of cute. It's adorable. I almost want to use the term welcome back to winning games that are like a big atmosphere, but they're not at all. I agree with you. But yeah, but the hype that I saw in that stadium, did a soul leave Neyland like within an hour after the game, or were they all just hugging and crying and kissing their cousins, talking about what an amazing moment they'll remember this forever because they just beat the 1-2 Gators?
In the same way Georgia fans
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Reacted when Georgia won the national championship in January, that just emotional release, that's what Tennessee had on Saturday after beating a really bad, unranked Florida team whose coach almost got arrested or something. I don't know, charging off the sideline, looking like he wanted to fight the referees.
Was a weird moment, by the way.
Florida can't hire a coach that's not a complete clown. I don't understand what's wrong with this program.
When Billy Napier had to be physically restrained by, like, three of his assistant coaches, it's almost like they knew, like, all right, hey, we got to step in. We know what he'll do if we don't hold him back. That was really, really odd to me that no one seems to be talking about.
We know what he'll do.
Yeah, it's like he's going to hit him. He's going to hit him.
He had a crazed look in his eye.
He did, man.
I haven't seen since I used to hang out with some hoodlums in high school.
Let me be clear.
She loves her Billy Napier.
I guess so. But okay, so again, not going to be the same team when they come to Athens, and I'll tell you why. I'm not convinced. I know that Brian Kelly looks like a complete joke right now, and I know that LSU is not the best team in the SEC by any standard, but I don't trust Tennessee to go to Baton Rouge and win. I don't think they're going to have any chance to beat Alabama. And I don't think they're going to beat Kentucky. So they very well could have three losses between now and the time that Georgia sees them. This may not be a top 10 team coming to Athens.
Very possible. I do think they'll beat LSU. I think they're high-powered offense enough to probably put a really crooked number on LSU. And they're going to act like that's an even bigger win than what they did against Florida, I think, because they're going to go down to Baton Rouge and bring back a dub to Neyland. I think we're going to get a similar situation like we did when Georgia won the championship last year, where we got College Game Day twice. I thoroughly believe that game day is going back to Knoxville when Alabama rolls into town. Tennessee will have, like I said, if my plan goes, like they would have beaten LSU.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be a top 10 team. Here comes number 2, Alabama, the third Saturday in October, which used to be such a good staple of the SEC. They have not beaten Nick Saban. They literally are 0-4 against Nick Saban. It's awful. It's bad. And they're not going to do it this year.
No.
Alabama's going to roll in there and just destroy Tennessee. God forbid they beat Alabama. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Well.
But it's not going to happen. It's really not. It's going to be a bad day on Rocky Top. I also agree with you that Kentucky's no slouch and Georgia's going to beat you too.
Yeah.
So a lot's going to change between now and when we play them November 6th, 7th, whatever.
They may be completely out of the SEC East race by the time Georgia sees them. So
bring them on.
Hold on to the Josh Heupel hype train. I'm not ready for it yet.
Now, did you find yourself in a weird, weird way? Now, I've got to word this in a way that makes sense because I can't believe I'm actually saying it. When Florida scored the late touchdown, did they get the 2-point conversion or not? I think they did. whatever it was that made it a four. No, maybe not. Anyway,
there was something where they went for two at one point when they shouldn't have.
Kind of odd.
I'm trying to remember the timeline and then the onside kick.
Well, when they got the onside kick and they were set up for a Hail Mary in a weird alternate universe way, were you not in the back of your mind thinking, all right, if they get this Hail Mary and they beat that crowd that's been celebrating for a quarter, is going to be one of the funniest things I've ever seen in college football.
100%
That I'm not going to find an ounce of joy in Florida winning this thing. I found 0 ounces of joy in Tennessee winning it, but it would have been hilarious had Tennessee blown that lead and given up a Hail Mary for a game-winning touchdown. I was in a weird way rooting for it, Walker.
There is nothing... nothing that makes me happy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're not on your team, Kareem. Don't sit there and think we're acting like Gator fans right now.
Then Rocky Top misery.
Oh, that would have been a game with a name, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
if they had given up that lead. But no, it was two, I think, mediocre teams with bad defenses that made offenses look good in a big-time environment. I'll be the first to tell you, Neyland can rock. Neyland can be one hell of a place to host a football game.
Been there many times.
When they get into it. And I actually like the checkering of the stands. I think it's a good look. So anyway, enough about that. Tennessee, best of luck down at LSU next week. And also enjoy that 11 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, I don't see any teams right now other than, let's say, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. I don't see any teams that I feel – are really that good, that are really on that level.
Kent State, baby.
I'm not sold on Michigan. I'm not sold on Clem and his son.
Mm. No, they should have lost to Wake.
They definitely should have lost to Wake. Probably will lose to the Wolfpack this week.
I'm all for that.
You know, Kentucky's a great story, but is Kentucky going to be undefeated? No. Is Kentucky going to be in the college football playoff? No.
Did you see SEC shorts this week?
No.
Oh, you got to go watch it.
Oh, the Tennessee showed up at the top 10 meeting.
I think the best line in there was when they said something like, you guys are our best chance at the playoff, and Georgia just stares at Kentucky. Kentucky's like, what, man? Leave me alone. Let me enjoy my moment.
We thought maybe Arkansas might be on the verge of that elite level, but then they go and suffer the oink doink.
Oh, how heartbreaking was that? Oinkinsaw is what I'm seeing it called also. The oink doink.
And so as great as college football is, and we've talked about it this season already, how wonderful college football is and all these great environments all over the country, I really think there are three teams right now that can win the national championship. Right now, we could be singing a different tune in 6 weeks, but Tennessee's not one of those teams. Auburn is not one of those teams. Florida's not one of those teams. The SEC, this isn't, you know, your dad's SEC from 1988 where there's just a pack of great teams. I think Georgia and Bama might be about it.
Remember when App State beat up on A&M and took A&M's game day from them the next week? I'm thoroughly convinced that they would have gone to Arkansas this week because that's where Alabama is headed. And that could be a good game. I have no idea how Arkansas is going to respond, but that was just excruciating as a non-Arkansas fan to watch. I can only imagine what they felt after the oink doink.
As a gambling man, you have to think that Arkansas suffering a heartbreaking loss like that, and then the next week you have to roll up against Nick Saban.
Good luck.
It might not be pretty.
Best of luck to you. Bryce Young has struggled on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you saw the stat this week. 5 of his true SEC road games, Alabama's won by like 3 or less.
And we don't even know what Alabama is yet. We think we know because they brought back so much talent from last year. But the one real game that they've played, they struggled to beat Texas. So we'll find out a little more about them this Saturday.
I know they beat up on Vanderbilt, but look, even I don't sit there and brag about a Vanderbilt win. They did what they should have done.
We don't ever bring up wins against Vanderbilt.
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? let's hit a break now. We'll come back and talk some Braves, or it's your segment. You can say to heck with the Braves. It's up to you.
In typical second string podcast fashion, Logan tells me what we're going to talk about in the Walker segment.
Coming up next, second string podcast, and guess what, Walker? Now radio show.
Let's
right
go,
here
baby.
On WGAU.
All I want to do is eat.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it?
Now back to the second string on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
The Braves on TBS theme back from the 90s. This is the sound of nostalgia. I caught Walker off guard because during the break I told him I started smoking cigarettes again.
Why'd you do that? You just figure it's time?
It just sounds good. No, kids, I did not start smoking cigarettes again. If I want to be single, that's my first, like, method.
That's Mrs. Booker's, she draws the line there.
Mrs.
Huh?
Booker has made it very, very clear. Look, I'm allowed, not that I even do, but I'm allowed to, like, hit a victory cigar if we win a national championship.
There you go.
Something along those lines, but I am not in any way, shape, or form allowed to indulge in a smoky treat.
You can't light up a heater.
Like I may or may not have used to do when I was younger, and I'm very, very glad that I don't anymore. But anyway, that was just a random side joke that I made.
I may or may not be guilty of such things in my own past.
What we did talk about real quick before we talk about the Braves is that this Saturday looks good for football.
I'm excited about this Kentucky-Ole Miss matchup.
Do you want one or the other to win?
Mm.
I mean, it helps Georgia if Kentucky loses, I guess.
I was going to say, if Ole Miss wins, if the Ole Misses can take down Kentucky, then they have a loss in the East. Well, they have a loss in the SEC, but that helps Georgia in the Eastern Division. So, yeah, that is fine. But also, you kind of want to see Kentucky highly ranked, highly regarded when Georgia plays them in November.
Doesn't matter to me at all.
Clout, man.
Georgia, just take care of your own business and you'll be fine. I don't care what the hype is around them. I want the wet blanket thrown on Kentucky this weekend.
Really?
Okay. I'm rooting for the Lane train, the future Auburn coach.
So you want the hype to continue with the Lane train because if they win, they're going to probably jump up in the top 10.
You remember Zach Evans, the recruitment of Zach Evans? Mm-hmm. That's Ole Miss's running back right now, and he looks really darn good. And I said this on our show this morning. I don't know much about the kid, if anything, but it seems as if he got to college and just put his head down and played football.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the kid to be successful, and I would love for him to put up a crooked number on Kentucky this weekend.
Let's do
then it, we just mentioned Alabama-Arkansas 3:30. I'm with you. I think Arkansas is in trouble. But, my goodness, please just show some cracks in Alabama's foundation. That's all I need to see.
It would be good if that game went down to the wire. That'd be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
All right, to quote Bill Shanks, he says there's never in his time been a series regular season as big as what we're getting in Truist Park this weekend with the lousy, stinking Mets coming to town.
Dastardly Mets. I tell you this, I hope I know that they will find a way to play the games. I just hope that the games are not affected too much by the weather. This hurricane that's about to hit Florida here as we're recording this, once it shoots through the state of Florida and the Orlando area and shoots back out the other side, back into the ocean.
Disney World might be gone.
Oh, my gosh. It's not going to be a very happy place this weekend. Prayers and thoughts for everybody in that area. But after that, the hurricane kind of makes a quick left turn and comes back towards Georgia. And what we'll see is the remnants of it. We'll see the heavy rain coming through on Friday night.
You can walk outside in Athens right now and look at Hurricane Ian, by the way. Do you realize that? The clouds in the sky. I looked this morning. There is a legit cloud band from Ian coming through this morning on Wednesday of recording. It's going to be here for a few days.
So how much rain do we get and when do we get it? That's going to decide what happens with the Braves and the Mets this weekend.
As far as the games, though, I'm excited, man. I think the atmosphere, I love me some Truist Park, love me some Battery. That it's going to be a playoff environment.
Yes.
Big time.
Assuming everybody can get there and the games can be played, it's going to be a playoff atmosphere. I'm looking at it right now, and as we're recording this, and again, it changes every 10 minutes, so take it with a grain of salt, but looks like only about a 30% chance of rain in Atlanta on Friday night.
We can be good, man.
And then Saturday, you've got like a 75% chance of rain, but they could always play the doubleheader on Sunday. I agree with you. Playoff atmosphere, this is as big as it gets. Do you realize the Braves have won, 97 games now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a very, very good baseball team. You've just run up against another very, very good team in your own division this year. And I love it, man. Hopefully the Braves can finish off the Nationals and go into this series with the Mets either tied or maybe even a game ahead. There's a lot on the line this weekend.
Also, make no mistake, I really, really, really want to win this division and put the Mets kind of fans in their place and point and laugh at them. It's okay if we don't, though. I mean, like, of course we want it. But coming off the World Series championship, something that has never been broadcast in HD high definition for the Mets fan. They have to pull the VCR out to watch their glory in 1986, and even that was in part to, was it Billy Buckner? Was it was he the one that messed
thank
up the
you,
ground
Bill
ball?
Buckner, yeah,
thank
you very rolled much. Right underneath his legs.
But anyway, the point is, it's been a long, long time. I'd love for their misery to continue, but it's okay if we have to play a wild card round in the playoffs. We're in, okay? The stress is not where it would have been had we come up short last year.
Yeah, but the difference between playing your wild card round and not is vast.
It's also the side of the bracket. Here's why. Right. If you play in the wild card and you win, you would play the Padres, by the way, best of three, all games in Truist. You can do that. Let's say you win that. Well, best of five against the Dodgers. Let's go
good
west.
Luck.
Yeah, have fun with that. Yeah. If you're on the other side, the division-winning side, you'll play. First of all, you'll get a bye in the wild card, huge, and you'll get the winner of Philly and St. Louis.
I know.
We can handle that. Then we play the winner of the Mets and the Dodgers in best of five. So, yes, that's the route you want.
It's almost like getting a pass to the NLCS.
I think the drywall in my living room is safe if we don't win the division.
Sure. But and the other thing that you didn't mention there is if you win the division and you don't have to play that wild card series, you essentially get a week off. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to finish the season next Wednesday against the Marlins.
Give my man Spencer Strider's oblique another week.
Got that.
Ooh,
right.
I like that.
Yeah, so you don't have to play that weekend wild card series. You would start the playoffs the following Tuesday. Again, you get essentially a week off to get healthy, get rested, and game plan for whoever you end
up with. In fact, I've already seen the plan. If the Braves get the bye week, I believe this is from Max Fried's notes. This is what their plans are together as a team.
First, you eat a chicken, then you smoke a little pot, and then you eat a whole pie.
Eat a bunch of pie.
I would lay off the pie.
Smoke a lot of pot.
No, I would lay off that too.
Smoke no pot.
You are really not kid-friendly today.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, the look, this
sorry,
is...
Sorry, kids. We do it for the kids. You know that.
Here's the only plus, if there is one, to not winning the division, playing that wild card round. You said it, three games at Truist Park, three playoff games over a weekend. I mean, I am very, very tempted to go and find myself a ticket to one of those games if it ends up being that way, because that's going to be a tremendous atmosphere at Truist Park.
It's a good place to be. Good place to be when you're playing good baseball, too. Minute and a half, what else you want to hit the people with, Walker?
I talked to our man down the hall, Stephen Lang, yesterday.
Why? Oh, yeah, Stephen's okay.
Why did I talk to him?
Yeah.
Because he is the only person I know that I would consider an expert on Georgia basketball.
Fair enough.
And I said, I just, you know, making conversation. Hey, Stephen, how's the team going to look this year? He told me they were going to the NIT.
Take it away, Walker.
Basketball team's gonna win like 15 games.
15 games?
According to Steven, he says we're going out west to play a second round game against Pepperdine or somebody.
I'll tell you what, man. We go to Pepperdine, we're going.
That would be a huge improvement, though.
You realize Pepperdine's campus is like on a cliff in Maui.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I don't know why I think of them when I think of the NIT.
They do scream NIT, though. Or like a bracket buster in the
that's right.
In the big one.
I was just excited. It kind of got me a little bit excited for basketball season. The Hawks have made an upgrade.
Nah, man, let's play some football.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's coming soon.
You got 25 seconds to talk basketball, then I'm hanging up.
Nah, man, the Five Stripes play New England this weekend, and
we will avenge Super Bowl 51.
We've got a chance. I'm saying there's a chance still to get in that playoffs.
All right, we
got
to head over to iTunes, talk a little of bad movies and dragons.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
That's what I'm talking about. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Go Dogs beat the Tigers. Second String on WGAU.
It is clear that the Gators are superb. We want to encourage all of our kids to participate, that everything is just not all equal. Let's do a quick fact check. Two national championships. One, two, three, four, five. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
How about the dog? That's my
bro. I had a little gripe with Mrs. Booker this time last week. Do you recall?
Uh-oh. Well, she is under...
She sent hate mail.
Yeah, that's right. She sent us a letter. Handwritten letter. Not an email. Not a text message.
Ripping that letter up right now.
Telling us that we spend too much time talking about House of Dragons.
I've
but
got a brand new gripe. I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I've got good news for Mrs.
Do
Booker.
You? Okay, what's the good news for Mrs. Booker?
As of now, I have not yet seen the latest episode of House of Dragons.
What the hell's wrong with you? What have you been doing the last three nights? Give me three things you've done Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday that kept you from watching the dragons.
Working and parenting. That doesn't count.
I don't do any of those things. I get it. All right,
I wanted to watch it last night, but the Braves had my attention last
first
night.
First thing I do, I did not stay up late Sunday, but the first thing I did when I got home was get some garlic, hummus, and pretzels.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Fired up the dragons and just enjoyed the ever-living heck out of it. So I won't spoil anything for you, but I will say it felt like a second pilot episode.
I do know this much, okay? I know that we're doing some time hopping.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that in this latest episode that I haven't seen yet, there are some different actors because the child actors are no longer. We've gone years into the future. So we have Alicent and Rhaenyra as different actors. Mm-hmm. I understand the king is still alive. Is that true?
For now.
So
I don't think he's going to be much longer.
Okay. So
yes.
So we've gone many years in the future. How many years did we go?
About
10. Future?
That's what the producer said. About 10 years or so into. And both Rhaenyra and Alicent have several children that are now like of the age where they like train and fight. They're kids. They're not even teenagers yet.
So,
but they're definitely interacting together as kids.
Those children that Princess Rhaenyra has, do they belong to her husband or do they belong to Sir Criston?
Well, that's the whole you're wondering type thing. They'll do a lot of that in this episode. You've got a lot to take in.
All right.
But here's the thing, and this kind of plays, and this is right away, and it's no giveaway. It's kind of odd where Alicent, the brown-haired queen that is married to the King Varys, whatever,
yep,
all of her children have this very bright Targaryen blonde hair. Rhaenyra, who also has that Targaryen blonde hair, all of her kids somehow have brown hair, Walker. Mm. All of them. So there is a little bit of who's the daddy going in. Maury Povich actually makes an appearance in this episode, and they all sit around and unveil some envelopes, and a lot of fighting going on, a lot of hair pulling, if you would.
I'm excited about it.
No, it's a good episode, but like I said, new actors, a lot of new scenarios, and the producers even use the term second pilot. Like, okay, all the backstory is told, now let's play the Dance of Dragons. And it ends with a nice little banging cliffhanger too. So it little things are happening, Walker.
Do we know how many episodes there are in this season?
We don't. There are 10, I think. I think it's going to be like a normal Game of Thrones season.
I thought maybe we were getting close to like running up on the end of season one, which was going to be terribly disappointing.
No, we're halfway through. We got another half to go. But let's do not know how many seasons they're planning for. I have no idea.
Keep them coming.
I love it.
I mean, look, as much content as you want to give us,
I'm excited they're making this like the Marvel Universe, and we're getting like 6 different spinoffs over time, and keep them all coming our way. All right, since we did that, or we hit our quota, I've got a brand new gripe to pick with Mrs. Booker. It's not even to do with her dislike of the dragons. We were listening to, she likes to put on the Second String podcast every once in a while we're in the car if she hasn't finished it.
Okay.
So I have to listen to myself, which is just glorious, Walker.
No,
I'm kidding. It's very
self-indulgent.
It is very, very odd. I'm not a fan of it. But we got to the entertainment section, Walker.
Uh-huh.
And as we're cranking up, getting Corrine Brown going.
The win makes Urban Myers the 5th acting coach with multiple national titles. That everything is just not all.
We got the song going, the sound bites playing. All of a sudden, I hear this like tap, tap. And then it's our voices again.
What?
She skipped the intro song.
What?
To the entertainments. She apparently, she likes to pretend like she's not a fan of Corrine Brown which is just crap.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We love Kareen. She is our girl. We would go to war with this woman.
For sure. I'd lay down in traffic
Mrs.
for her.
Booker likes to pretend that she's annoying, and she skipped the intro song that Kareen worked so hard on. Every single week she comes up with new ideas, and all of a sudden, tap, tap, and it's us. It's like, what? What just happened? I don't like that side, that part. It's like, well, then stop listening. No, keep listening, honey. But I'm packing my things up and leaving.
Did you just tell your wife to stop?
Stop.
Listening,
no, I didn't say.
And then you were
stop,
packing
Walker,
up your
stop,
things
stop.
And leaving.
No. I'm not leaving. But if I did, Kareen's coming with me. I'll tell you that much right now.
Bad news about Mr. and Mrs. Booker.
I watched a movie yesterday, actually, over on same thing, HBO. I've seen this. The only reason I watched this or knew it existed is because it was in my like social media advertisements for like the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. There's a movie called Moonfall. Again, HBO original, I guess you can call it that. But it's the premise is, Walker, check this out, a mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit and sends it hurtling on a collision course toward Earth.
I hate it when that happens.
This felt to me, there was some good-looking CGI. There was some good, you know, sci-fi special effects going on here. Okay. But your boy Samwell Tarly from Game of Thrones, he was the, like, non-scientist that discovered, oh my god, something's happening. And did you ever watch Don't Look Up?
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
This movie felt like Don't Look Up, Armageddon, and Independence Day. Somebody, Walker, did exactly this.
First, you eat a chicken, then you smoke a little pot, and then you eat a whole pie.
And says, I got it. We're going to combine all three of these into the same exact movie, or this one movie. And it's as bad as you would imagine.
I was getting the feeling that it wasn't good.
But here's the weirdness of what happened to me, Walker. And I went busted in you and Chloe's studio early this morning and said, man, I watched a movie last night, and I spent 2 solid hours thinking I was watching a Chris Pratt movie. It was not Chris Pratt. Come to find out, after I went to the IMDb, after I watched the movie, like, wait a darn second, that was not Chris Pratt. And Patrick Wilson is his name. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. But the mannerisms, the dress, the like cheap humor, the action save the day guy.
I think I've seen this guy.
Everything, I swear on my life, I spent 2 hours thinking I was watching a Chris Pratt movie. It was unbeknownst to me, I was not.
Logan, Chris Pratt,
he's a big time A-list star.
He is super, super A-list. He played Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy. Why would he need to do a straight to HBO sci-fi movie?
Why did Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence do the Don't Look Up? I don't know.
Because Netflix paid them a crapload
of money. I'm sure HBO paid these guys a lot of money. You know what else blew me away I did not realize is that the young, very attractive lady that was playing like the 30-year-old woman scientist, big little love connection here and there, was Halle Berry.
I have seen pictures of Halle Berry from this movie as this character, and I will admit she may look better than she did back in the day.
She could pass for a 24-year-old in this movie. I did not know that was David Justice's ex-wife. I had no clue. So I got blown away when I looked at the actors, and I was like, what? That was who? It was weird. But as far as the movie goes, I gave you my review. Just take Armageddon, superhero, save the day, natural disaster, alien invasion movies, put it in a blender, stir that thing up, smoke a lot of pot, and then see what comes out on the other side. And that's what this movie was. It was not good. It was not good at all.
Sounds like the kind of movie you might have on while you're like cleaning the house or something.
That's fair.
Just have it on in the background.
Or if you're into cheesy save the day Armageddon movies, then this is for you, man. Big time.
Well, I too have a bad movie, unfortunately. I can save everyone a lot of time. If you haven't seen the new Thor movie, just don't.
Where is this? Is it streaming?
It is now on Disney Plus. It came out in theaters. It had a big opening back in the summer.
Is it Love and Thunder?
Yeah, I just missed it for some reason.
This looks awful.
I'm a Thor guy. Thor Ragnarok is
maybe, that's your dude?
That might be my favorite Marvel movie. It might be right behind Endgame. I don't know. It's really, really that good. But this movie, was bad.
Is this the one where you get to see Chris Hemsworth behind his his hind quarters?
Well, maybe that is the thing that will
his Christmas ham
will get you to go check it out, Logan,
and Easter ham.
Just Google image that instead of watching the whole movie.
His rumpus.
As much as I love Natalie Portman,
his Twin Peaks.
And I do love me some Natalie Portman. No, this movie was like a caricature of like a good Thor movie. It's like it was like an SNL skit. It was just that bad where at times you were just scratching your head going, is this real? Are they messing with us right now?
His badonkadonk.
That's the honky-tonk badonkadonk, as Trace Atkins would say. So that's all I'll say about that is just don't waste your time. I will give you some good news from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
All right, what is it? Hit
us with. Just yesterday, Ryan Reynolds on his Instagram spilled the beans, if you will, that Deadpool 3 is coming out.
I've never seen a Deadpool.
Logan, I gotta say, I think I know your sense of humor, and you would love
really
at least the first Deadpool.
Where can I watch the first Deadpool?
I'm sure
is it part of Disney Plus and all that? Okay,
because it's Marvel.
I'm out of shows right now. I'm week to week watching The Dragon, so I've got time that I didn't have when I was doing my Game of Thrones journey. I'll try to watch a Deadpool before I come back next
Deadpool
Thursday.
Is a, how can I say this?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Not suitable for work superhero. He has some of the...
Is this as bad as your, like, movie with the guy? It was the same actor. Ryan Reynolds was like the game show actor. Like you made me watch a movie recently.
Free Guy?
Sucked. Yes, that was awful. Absolutely awful.
Cheeseheads will confirm that Free Guy was really good.
20 minutes in, I was turning it off.
Well, that's maybe why you were wrong about it, because you didn't watch the whole thing.
Fair enough.
go see this when it comes out. It's not coming out for a couple of years.
Yeah,
but
why are they doing a 2-year tease?
He just let it out that it's happening, and also that Hugh Jackman is going to return as Wolverine.
Better known as Logan.
Yes. And so everyone got real Twitter-pated about this movie yesterday.
Twitter-pated? What the heck is Twitter-pated?
I don't know. I think that's from Pinocchio.
Twitter-pated.
It's from some kid's movie.
I'm going to let that marinate for a while and just see how I think about it this time next week. All right, don't. So basically, sum it up, don't watch Moonfall.
Don't watch Thor. But
be patient, because in 2 years there's a good movie coming out.
Watch Thor Ragnarok if you've never seen that. Now, that's a great Thor movie. Don't watch Love and Thunder or whatever that trash was. And do get excited about a new Deadpool movie. And do, if you haven't seen Deadpool, go see it.
I'll give you a tease, and this is not kid-friendly either, nor is the Dragon Show. If you got kids, you're not watching House of the Dragon with them. You remember when Tommen jumped out of the window in Game of Thrones?
Yes, I do.
Aegon is Allison's oldest boy.
Yes, he is.
Just wait till he gets to that window.
Why do bad things happen at
just
that window?
What you tell me if it's good or bad when you come back next week. Remind me to ask you what you thought of Aegon's window.
Okay.
The same window as Tommen.
I'm hoping I can watch it tonight, so maybe tomorrow.
In fact, do this. Text me.
Okay.
You'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you see it. You're going to text me, and I'm very curious what
I
that
will.
Text is going to be. There have been some really good memes on the internet that have come out since Aegon and his window.
All right.
Go watch Dragons, man.
I will shoot you a text tonight. We can talk about it during the morning show tomorrow when we're supposed to be working.
Not when kids are listening. All right, Second String Podcast. Have a good week. Walker, go Dogs beat Missouri.
Go Gator.
Who are y'all playing? Oh, Sunday. You got Eastern Washington. Have a good time with your Sunday.
Everything is just not all equal.
Hope you all stay safe in the hurricane, by the way. That's for real, including you, Kareem. Go Dogs.
Go Gator.
Go Dogs.
Two national championships.
That's what we're getting. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
That everything is just not all equal.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.